The following is message number 6 of the 2018 Midwest Team Reunion.
Okay, here we go. Saturday night. Saturday night live. Live with Jesus. That's the real life. The Jesus life. We're the living ones. Praise the Lord, we can spend Saturday night. College students, you're giving your Saturday night to Jesus Christ. Wonderful. You're in the right place at the right time to get the right blessing from the right King. Praise the Lord. Okay, we had a few more questions, if you're up to it. Amen. Yes or no?
Amen.
What was that? Okay, so let's see. Maybe we can move along here. One was not written, but it was about, it came up regarding when we talked about the age we're in and the black being white and white being black, and if the club gets approached by homosexuals, how do we handle that? So we've had a couple of cases, and Austin's not quite like Berkeley. I heard this brother here from Berkeley. So that's out there. And Austin is behind that, but not too far behind. It's kind of the liberal bastion of the South, at least in our area. So you get a lot of that. And universities, especially the higher they're rated academically, typically, you know, the higher thinkers, the critical thinkers, or, you know, they're trying to make a name for themselves, come up with something new, become famous, so they've got to come up with something other than the tradition. So they're, you know, it's pushing the envelope on the liberal agenda. Although there are dear believers in all these universities. So our professor, our sponsor at UT Austin, I was telling Brother Harvest, where is Harvest? That's a great name, Harvest. That Brother Ken Diller and UT Austin, he's a well-known internationally scientist and a dear brother. He's been our advisor since 1973 or 4 when we met him. And he's actually come in this area to speak about a course he teaches at UT, Science and the Bible, with required reading of the Recovery Version. With notes. The only problem was when the bookstore ordered it to come in, other people bought it up, so the students, they ran out of Recovery Version, so that's a good problem. But that's the required reading textbook for a course at UT Austin. So there are professors who are God-fearing, God-loving, realize God the Creator, and you can find them. So it's not all the other way, but anyway, the tendency is the higher academically they're rated, the more they go that other direction. But anyway, so on these campuses, with the age getting darker, then that can be an issue, and what is our stance? Well, we, again, it's not our stance, it's God's stance. So we explain to them that we're a Christian group and our Christian faith is based on God speaking, God's word. So we realize salvation by the word. We realize how we should walk as Christians by the word. And God does speak about this. And so we just take God's position on it and leave it at that. We had a couple... I was helping out a group in South Texas, starting a club. It used to be UT Pan Am, which Harvest was talking about, but now it's UT RGV, Rio Grande Valley, and we had two lesbians that were interested in the club, signed up, and were in our meetings and came to the cookout on campus there and were very physical with each other, you know, public display. And so we just went on about reading the Bible, speaking the truth, and eventually light and darkness have no fellowship, so they stop coming. So if we're really speaking Christ and we're shining Christ and we're reflecting Christ, light and darkness will get separated. And so we haven't had any run-ins, really. Any, you know, we've had some test, you know, some people testing us, but we just stick to the Bible and keep speaking about the Bible and teaching the Bible, and eventually they don't stay around. So that's been our experience. I don't know if anybody else wants to say anything, but that was one question. Are we okay on that one? Move on. Okay, and then one more. How do we take care of shepherd sisters, even church kids sisters, who are feminists and who strongly advocate for feminism and even regard the co-workers speaking, that would be me, and the ministry as old-fashioned, that would be me, or the ministry. It is old. It's about 2,000 years old. It's called the New Covenant. Although it's 2,000 years old, it's ever new. And before that, it's even more years old, the Old Covenant. So you could say it's old covenant, old-fashioned, and new fashion. So I'm not only old-fashioned, I'm new-fashioned. But I'm in the New Covenant. And so ministry is old-fashioned and demeaning women. So this matter of demeaning women and that can be true in some religions and in the world because of the fallen nature of man. We don't argue, we don't deny that that happens. But in the church, it's a lot different. The church is God's family, and we are his creatures and created by him. And you were made in his image. We're created in the image of God according to his likeness. So I've used Daniel before. Daniel, why don't you stand up? So he has God's image and likeness. And photograph, and so it's a human being. So human beings are made in the image of God. Okay? So that's why, and likeness, according to his likeness, so that's why all the brothers are handsome and all the sisters are beautiful by God's creation. I'm looking at these brothers. To me, they're all very handsome brothers. I'm looking at these sisters. To me, they're all very beautiful sisters because they look like my God. And they were created by God according to God's design and fashion. So they're beautiful in God's eyes. And the sisters have a very critical role in the building of the church. In fact, if you don't see sisters in this top word right here, you miss the point. Yeah. Who is primarily responsible for the domestic aspect of this right here? Sisters, please raise your hand. Okay. To carry out the church life in the homes, without the sisters, there's no way. And without Mary's and Martha's, the Lord would have been hindered in his ministry. Without the women who followed, there were 12 disciples, males, but there were also a group of women in Luke 8 that were right there in the picture, and they followed the Lord, they ministered to the Lord out of their possessions. And as far as loving the Lord, who was it that is supposed to be told about when we tell the story of Jesus' love for us? Who are we supposed to talk about? Peter? John, the one who Jesus loved? We just read John. I'm the disciple Jesus loved. But when we tell the gospel, we don't talk about John. Who do I talk about? When I tell the gospel about the story of Jesus' love for man, that's the first step. What's the next step? So Mary is a love offering. She loved the Lord back. So it's Mary whose name the Lord wanted to be spoken about every time the gospel went out. Not Peter, not Paul. Mary! So the sisters have a very special function in loving the Lord and serving the Lord, and it's very much needed. That's why there's male and female. There can't be just male. There can't be just female. There has to be male and female. That's why there's God and man. There is, for completion. So it's very much a concern about in the church, the sisters get proper care, which I believe they do. They have a special function in prayer. Just in the last 5 years, some key brothers in Anaheim are very concerned because some older sisters, not older brothers, but older sisters have been passing away. And why are the brothers so concerned about the sisters passing away, the older sisters passing away? What do you think their concern is? Huh? Prayer. These sisters are faithful in their prayer for God's move on the earth. They might not be out there traveling the world and giving a conference, but that has a base to it. And if that base is not there, there's no furtherance of God's move. And that prayer function, when they went to pray in Acts, whose house did they go to? Acts 12. Whose house? And what's her name?
Mary.
It didn't mention Mark's dad, did it? When the Bible talks about the prayer meeting in Acts 12, it doesn't say whatever his name was. Who cares? It's Mary's house. Am I right? Am I remembering it correctly? So there's a very special function, a needed function, for the sisters in God's move. And that is God's arrangement. That's God's way of arranging things so he can move and bring in the kingdom, just like we sang. So the sisters are very special in the church, and the Bible reveals that they are weaker. I think that's pretty obvious. Let's see, Jordan, why don't you get up here and let's see. Sister, you probably don't weigh 100 pounds, do you? You want to come up and wrestle him? No, you don't want to wrestle with him. I don't want to wrestle with him. So just, and you can just see, it's obvious. And that's for, that's God's design. That's God's arrangement. That's for God's move. That's for movement. That's for, that has purpose. That has meaning. That position, that place is critical. Now, let me ask you, Mr. Captain America. bring forth a child. Can't do it. He can't bear a child. Whose womb were you in, your dad's or your mom's?
Mama's.
Dad doesn't have one. Obvious design by God for purpose, for life, for propagation, for the home, for the human race, for bringing God's kingdom. So sisters, you have a place, a very critical place. And so you don't need to be in the place of a brother. That's a brother shouldn't be in the place of a sister, and the sister shouldn't be in the place of a brother. It's out of sync. It's out of arrangement. It's God's design is clear in 1 Corinthians should be around 11. I want you to know that Christ is ahead of every man. So every man that is not under Christ, he's out of position. Man is not his own head. The head of every man is Christ. So any man that's not headed up by Christ, he's out of whack. He's whack. Okay, and it says, and the head of every, the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. So there's a divine arrangement for working out God's economy. So it's very clear, and if we maintain that arrangement and we function the way we're created, then everybody's need is met and God has a way to move. Is that okay? So every cell in my being, let's see, we're XY chromosome? Yeah, okay, so every cell in my being is XY, and my hormone is testosterone, is that right? Every cell in your being is YY, XX? Okay, sorry, I don't study genetics. It's YY. Oh, it's XX, and estrogen is your hormone. So the two are made by God to complement each other, to make completion. So that's God's arrangement. So if we step out of that, or we act out of that, then we're acting out of order. One of the church kids in one of the churches now thinks he's a girl. Because of this age we're living in his mind, he is convinced that he's a female. So every cell in his being has XY. Every cell is male. So you can think it's XX or take chemicals or have operations, but you're not going to change every cell in your body. Your genetics, yep. PhD in genetics, yep. Is that going to work?
It does not work.
It does not work. It's against the design. Okay? So it's just God's arrangement. So if you understand that and you live in that way, you'll be the most blessed life. Is that good? Okay, move on. Could you please fellowship more concerning the specific roles of the students, the more-timers, that means the full-timers, it took me a while to get that, the students, the full-timers, and the community saints in the carrying out of the God-ordained way? How can these threefold cords work together to gain the fruit from the campus for the church life? Okay, we've been talking about the vision and where it is, what we're doing, who's doing it, and we've been focusing primarily on the full-timers, this first message, which we're going to finish up right now. And then we're going to go to the students and the community, all saints. And as we're doing this, we'll be answering this question. So rather than try to hit it head on, or specifically, we're going to weave it into the messages. But we won't drop it. And by tomorrow, if we haven't adequately answered it from a number of angles, we'll just stay at it because it is at the heart of what we're talking about. And that's why we need the three cords. Students, stand up. The student cord. Without you, the Lord cannot move on the campus. Right? Sit down. Full-timer cord. Without you, it's hard to take care of the students, shepherd the students, and contact the students, and perfect the students. We need you. And community saints, stand up. Okay, without you, where are the homes? Where are the families, the kids, the dogs, the meals, the money to feed the kids? Who's going to cook? Who's going to pour out riches into these open vessels. It's you. So without you, now the question is, how do these, you can sit down, thank you, how do these three chords smoothly, harmoniously interact to create a container that bears remaining fruit off the campus? So you may have seen this illustration. Chris referred to it earlier. What is, you're a student. Okay, pick another student. Bart. Okay, Bart and Daniel. So we got one from Champaign and one from Madison, right? So let's just pretend they're on the campus together. They're students, but they don't know. Let's say they're freshmen. And they're coming in and they're interested in participating. And who's a full-timer? Here, Michael, come on. So here's more-timer, Mike. And these want to know, how do we preach the gospel? How can we bear fruit? They realize there are branches and that God's DNA in them is wanting to bear fruit. So, and they're on the same campus. So they are a fishing boat. So let's go fishing. Okay, lock up like a little boat there. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're going over here on the campus, and this one's helping you. And are you a student? Good enough. Okay, so they meet Michael, and Michael meets Daniel, and they hit it off, and they get in the boat. Blah, 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 blah. Are you a student? Okay, Jordan gets over here, and they meet another one. Maybe this is Michael's friend, and Jordan comes in. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, now this boat is full. This boat can't handle any more fish. So let's see, community saints. Who's community saints? Jim. Jim's a community saint. And here's Jim's wife. Jim's lovely wife with a lot of flowing hair. And let's have another couple. Who's another couple? Are y'all a couple? Okay, you're another couple. There's another couple. Okay, you're over there. Get over there by that chair. Okay, and what is that? What kind of boat is that? This is a fishing boat. This is a community boat, so they're a container boat. Container boat. Got the word, let's all say, container boat.
Container boat.
What kind of boat is this?
Fishing boat.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, nice, smooth transition. Hand off these young freshmen or young boys. They get connected with the good, the household, and they just like the household. And so now this fishing boat has a smooth transition. Now, look, they have capacity. Blah, 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 blah. And now they go over here and have some more students. Okay. Y'all just be students for the time being. Okay, so they pick up some more students. Now, capacity is full. They can't handle anymore, so what do? There's more. Where's another household community? Okay, y'all come over here. Two families over here. Blah, 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 blah. So they're connected with those homes. Michael's connected with the Brady Bunch. And then his name is Brady. And so now, nice, smooth transition. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now here we are again. So this gives a little bit of coordination. You got ones that have the face of a student. They dress like a student. Tennis shoes. I can't wear those tennis shoes. The hair is just, do you comb it? No. Mine have to comb to hide the balding spots. So, you know, a little bit of growth there. I'm clean shaven, and he looks like a student, he talks like a student, he acts like a student, he walks like a student, he's a student. And so he's just the one to meet other students. So they have a very important role on the campus because they are just connecting real well, but they need some help. And so that's where the full-timer comes in. And this is one illustration of bringing the threefold cord into function. So what kind of boat is this?
Fishing.
And what kind of boat is that?
Carrier.
Yeah, and so
container.
Container. Okay, y'all got it. Okay, thank you. So we'll talk more as we get into these outlines. Let's keep that question in mind, and we can we want to finish outline number one. We're still on message one, and we're running out of time. So let's go to point number seven on message one, page five. And we can make this quick so we can move on. I think Chris has a little more fellowship along these lines too. So the last point is seven is for full-timers, more-timers, some-timers, less-timers, all-timers. Well, not all-timers. All-timers even. So even we get that stage in life, we're still functioning. And so we just took some words from Paul to his younger coworker Timothy about how he should conduct himself and who he is. And you have a teacher, a soldier, a contender, a farmer, and it's, instead of worker, it should be workman. You can change that ER to M-A-N, workman, according to verse 15. So I'm going to let you respond to this one. And what I like to do is this talks about characteristics of full-timers. So I'd like all the teachers to stand up. If you're a teacher, high school teacher, junior high school teacher, elementary school teacher, college teacher, why don't you stand up? If you're a teaching profession. Okay, so you therefore, my child, be empowered in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you've heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. So full-timers are teachers. So, okay, you six, seven saints can sit down and tell me what are the qualities, what makes a good teacher? Or maybe some of you students had a good teacher, had some bad teachers, and you know what qualifies it, what's a good teacher. So let's talk about some characteristics of full-timers. We'll ask the teachers, give me, if we're teachers, what is a top characteristic of teachers?
Diligence.
Are you a teacher?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That applies to a lot of fields. Is there something specific about a teacher that is not true of a soldier, a contender, a farmer, a workman? Interest, okay. Genuine interest in students. That's a good teacher. Is that right, Carolyn? Okay, anybody else want to throw out?
Enabler.
What does that mean?
Enable
them to what? Huh? Do what you do. Teach others also. Okay, so enable. Or enabler, is that right? Enabler? Okay. All right. Huh? A mother? And that was from a brother? Okay. Yes. Ah, that's good. To impart or dispense. We like that word, dispense.
How about know your subject?
Know your subject. That's a good one.
Make it understandable.
Yeah, how about a communicator?
Yeah.
A good communicator. So those are some of the ones I put up to. Okay, let's move on to a soldier. Anybody served in the military? Stand up if you've been in the military. Wow. Wow. He's currently. Wow. Did you fight in the war?
Yes, sir.
was that World War I?
No, sir. Did you fight in the war? Have you been Combat, huh?
Sideline.
Were you actually deployed in World War II?
Yeah, Korea.
Korea, okay.
Korean War.
Korean War. Were you over there?
Yes, sir. We bombed them.
Okay. All right, y'all can sit down. So, what would you say the top characteristics of a soldier is? Discipline?
Yes, sir.
Okay, soldiers. Anything else?
Courage.
Huh? Courage? That's for sure. Well, I don't know how they do it. I appreciate our guys and girls in the military defending us right now so we can have this country and have freedom of speech and freedom. Oh, wow. On Memorial Day, I'll go over to the graves and just sometimes weep for all the... Has anybody ever been to Normandy? Normandy Beach with the graves? What was it? Operation Overlord? All right, better keep going here. So more characteristics.
Obedience.
Duty.
Obedience.
Under authority.
Is that B? Last spot. ED. Obedience. Anything else for, how about a young Schultz soldier? What do you say?
Honor.
Honor?
Would intelligence be a good one?
I hope so. I hope they're smarter than I am. Okay, how about we go on to contender? We're just in the Olympic Games, right? This was athletic contenders, so anybody here do college sports? How about you? You did high school sports. Why don't you stand up? High school sports. Wow. Whoa, a lot of athletes here. Okay. Why don't you keep standing if you did college sports? You did college sports.
Whoa.
Oh, it'd be interesting to find out what's your line, right? Okay, how about professional sports? Okay, that's good enough. So how about a contender? What would you say for...
Don't cheat.
No steroids? Ask Lance Armstrong about that one. So you have to what? You have to contend lawfully or obey? Lawful. That's actually in the word, isn't it? Lawful. Lawful contender. Strong will, agreed.
Perseverance.
Oh, that's for sure. Strong will and perseverance. Persevere.
You get them, I'll write them.
Okay. Persevere, E-R, E-R-E, yeah, persevere.
Persevere.
Okay, so we're not teachers. We can't spell, so.
What do you have left?
Anything else on a contender?
Training.
Yeah, I want you to put training in there. All right, so let's move on to a farmer. Anybody, before you do, anybody here ever made a, you know, we do have a garden, but that's not counting. Anybody here ever dependent on farming for their livelihood? Hmm? Your parents did? Any of you ever farmed? Nobody? Well, get that one. Oh, you did? Did you do farming?
You tried to.
Well, if we had Paul Bixby here, he grew up on a farm. He's a farm boy, so he could help us on this one. So I guess Anybody want to offer?
I was on a plow.
You plow it. I got that much. Okay. You've done that one. Okay. How about Floyd? Do you have anything, characteristics? Thanks, sister.
Well, it's, you always have to work. It's like
hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work.
Hard work.
It's like, if it's time to plow, you got to be out there to plow. If it's time to plant, you got to plant. If it's time to reap, you can't do what you want to do. You got to be there to reap when it's time to reap.
That's a great one. For
faith in God.
Yeah. Trusting God who provides rain and maybe patience. Okay, great.
Oh,
get that one. So that would go under hard work. No day off, no rest.
Early riser.
Early riser. Sound like your experience. Okay, so expert. Okay, expertise. Great. Thank you, Jordan?
Yeah.
Jordan. All right, then let's go to last one is workman. You got space right here. Anybody? Construction. Okay, stand up if you have construction work. You're a carpenter, a builder, contractor, another one. Okay, we just have two? Okay, so let's ask our carpenters, contractors, what are the characteristics of a workman, unashamed workman?
Know how to use tools.
Know how to use tools.
Be exact?
Exact. Precise.
Precision.
Okay.
How to follow the blueprint.
Oh, good one. You got to be able to follow the plans.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a great one.
You have to be a salesman and
a practical coordinator.
Project.
Project coordinator. Yeah. So I'd also, Young, sit down. Thank you. I helped out one summer, and it was on a house that was a very expensive house, and I'm not skilled, but the carpenter there was very skilled, and there are a lot of unusual cuts and arches and angles, and I couldn't see. I mean, he had to have the overview of how the pieces fit together. I was getting things backward and, you know, reverse view, and I just didn't have that ability at that age. But they have to have some view of the plan. I guess have an overview and be able to follow the architect. So that's a big one. Like seeing God's economy and being able to execute it precisely, something like that. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you, Timothy. So full-timer, here is your qualifications. As a teacher, soldier, contender, farmer, and a workman. Yeah. Okay, that ends message one, except for a P.S. on full-timers, Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Only Christ is qualified for this.
Only Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right.
I'll be real brief on this, but after all the fellowship, I've had some burden about the matter of full-time, and did y'all get all these points?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hope you did,
yeah. We'll just put T E. We'll make it small. There we go. God's New Testament economy. Yeah. All right. So, and all this fell. I just wanted to get into some verses on full time. And you know, when you generally when people talk about full-time, they think of a pastor, a professional, somebody that's hired and can be fired. But you don't see this in the New Testament concerning full-time. And there's the word full-time is never used in the New Testament. Sometimes the truth is revealed by plain words. Other times truth is revealed by cases. So I thought maybe we could take just a few minutes to see some of the cases in the New Testament concerning the matter of full time. Because this is a big burden in the New Testament. It's a big burden in the Lord's recovery that's been among us in a very strong way since the mid-80s. But I don't know that we've reached the, by a long shot, the burden that was in Brother Lee when he released this matter of full time in the and full-time service. And especially, you know, you consider the area of the Midwest, like we talked about, so many fishing ponds. You know, we need some of these groups of brothers like Tim was talking about that are getting their fishing boat, you know, to University of Michigan or to Ohio State. And, you know, not one brother trying to make something happen, but a team, you know, in these places. So anyway, I thought it'd be good to just get into some of these verses. And all this comes from this book. It's called Life Pulse of the Lord's Present Move. And one of the items of the life pulse of the Lord's Present Move is full time. So there is a chapter in here called Full Time. That's the title of the chapter. The next chapter is As the Lord's Living to Him. And the next chapter is Fellowship Under the Gospel. So these chapters are really good on the matter of full time if you want to get into it more. So these are just a few of the verses that I was going to share with you briefly, like I said. And we'll just get into some of the cases. So the first verse, and maybe somebody could read this verse to us. This is in Romans 12:1. And again, we don't see the word full time anywhere, but we see... we see a lot of cases in the New Testament. So whoever gets that first can stand up and read it to us.
I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, so this verse clearly says what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Based upon what? Or through what? The compassions of God. So the compassions of God should stir us up to present our bodies. So, and I want to read you this note on compassion. Mercy refers mainly to an action taken in response to man's wretched condition. Somebody's in a bad condition, and you have mercy on him. Hence, God showing mercy to man is outward. Compassion, however, refers mainly to an inward feeling that is expressed by groanings and tears. Hence, God having compassion on man is inward. Therefore, compassion is deeper than mercy. So let's change this verse a little bit. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the groanings and tears of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So this is the basis really here, is God's, we touch God's groanings and tears. What is our response to God's groanings and tears? We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And it's a living sacrifice. So when does it end? It ends when you die. or the Lord comes back. In the Old Testament, that bullock got slaughtered. It's over. The sacrifice is over. But what the Lord wants in the New Testament is living sacrifices. So to be a full-timer is to be a continual sacrifice. By what? Presenting our bodies. To present your body is to present your being. And your being is in time. So that means to be full-time, our body has been presented based on God's groanings, based on his tears. We've been motivated. We respond to that. We present our bodies. What's in our bodies? Our being. And we're in time. So what does this mean? He gets our full time. So that's the real meaning of being full time, is he gets it all. Okay, so that's Romans 12:1. Okay, here's another case with full time. This is in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. So here, Saul was persecuting the church, and then there's a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and all of them were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. It's really interesting, right? The apostles are the sent ones. But the sent ones stayed, and all the rest went. It's kind of a mystery, right? You would think they would have gone, but they stayed, and the rest of the church, which was at least 8,000, because 3,000 were saved and 5,000 were saved, so at least 8,000 got scattered. And when they got scattered, what did they do? Those, therefore, who were scattered went throughout the land announcing the word as the gospel. It doesn't say they went and found jobs. It doesn't talk about their jobs. It says they went throughout the land announcing the word as the gospel. So here's another example of full-timers, and it wasn't the apostles. In this case, it was the ones that got scattered from the church in Jerusalem. Okay, here's another example. How about the example of Paul? Here's an example of a brother. Brother Lee shared, this is the top example of a brother, a full-timer, who didn't drop his job. It's interesting, right? In Acts 18:3 it says, and because he was of the same trade, he remained with them. He remained with Priscilla and Aquila and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. The Apostle Paul was making tents for a living, and he was supporting his co-workers by making tents. Wait a minute, was he full-time? Yeah, he was full-time. Here's another example. 1 Corinthians 9:14. So also the Lord directed those who announced the gospel to live from the gospel. Those who announce the gospel live from the gospel. Those who preach the gospel, they live of the gospel. It doesn't say they get paid for preaching the gospel, but it says they live from the gospel. That's full time. They live for the gospel. Live from the gospel. They live for it and they live from it. And you'd think, well, how can you have this kind of living? And this is another verse that came out. This is Philippians chapter 4. Let me get there real quick. In Philippians 4, in Paul's fellowship with the Philippians, he talks about them ministering to his need. Okay. Sorry, I'm a little slow with my phone here, but I'll get there. Paul and Timothy, slaves... I'm sorry, wrong chapter. My finger doesn't quite get there. Okay. Let's see here. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because now at length you have caused your thinking for me to blossom anew, for which matter you had indeed taken thought, but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak according to lack. So he had a need, a material need, but the Philippians didn't take care of that need. Here he says, you had taken forethought, but you lacked opportunity. So they didn't have the way to give. But then in verse 11, he says, not that I speak according to lack. I'm not writing to you this because I lack something and you didn't take care of that lack. For I have learned in whatever circumstances I am to be content. So here is one serving the Lord. He should have been supported, but he wasn't. And he says, I'm not speaking this word to you because I lack, because I've learned to be content. I know also how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Sometimes that living sacrifice is going to experience abasement, sometimes abounding. In everything and in all things, I have learned the secret, both to be filled and to hunger, both to abound and to lack. And then you have verse 13. How could you live that life? How can we live this life of a living sacrifice? Verse 13. I am able to do all things in him who empowers me. He was living, he gave himself to the Lord. So the Lord had given himself to Paul. So that's the life of full time. Okay. And consider this example. Here's another example. What's the highest example of being full time in the Bible? The Lord Jesus. Surely if anybody was full time, he was full time. And did you think about this? For the first, let's say adult life starts at 18. So, for the first 12 years of his adult life, he was a carpenter. He had a job. God was a full-timer with a job. How about that? And then he went into his ministry, and the first thing the Spirit did was lead him into the wilderness to be tested there. And, of course, the first test was related to what? It was related to food. Food is always a test. Where's the next meal going to come from? But how did the Lord respond? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But let me ask you a question. Did Jesus die of starvation? No. The Father provided for his need. So whether he was a working full-timer or a job-dropping full-timer, he was just one with the Father's will. So that's the highest pattern there, the highest example of being full-time. And then you have the disciples. They drop their nets to follow not the CEO of some big corporation to get a better job. They dropped their nets. They dropped their profession to follow somebody who didn't have a profession. There was something so attractive about him. They were stirred up to be one with him. That's full time. That's full time. And then, like Tim mentioned, there was these sisters too, and the Lord used these faithful sisters to provide for the Lord and his disciples. They were able to give to provide for the need. Was the need met? Absolutely. It was met by the Lord's followers. Manna didn't come down to feed them. It got met by these sisters who love the Lord. This is full time. So there's those that keep their jobs, serving full time, and there's those that drop their jobs, serving full time. But you have a beautiful scenery here of the body life. trusting in the Lord, living one with the Lord, whether we have a job, we don't. The Lord has led us, he's commissioned us to drop our job to serve full time, and all the needs are met, and especially the Lord's needs met. Another example, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who take the lead well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and teaching. In other words, you need to support the elders that are so occupied laboring in the word and teaching so they don't have to worry about getting a job on top of that. You need to give them what? It doesn't say you need to pay them a salary. It says you need to give them double honor. So it's not in the realm of money. It's not in the realm of professionals. It's in the realm of serving as a living sacrifice and taking care of the need in the body. Okay. So, and here's the last verse. This is Romans 14:8. For whether we live to the Lord. And whether we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, what? We are the Lord's. So this, the thought here is very deep. It's, we're not here living just for the Lord, but living to the Lord. So the life of a living sacrifice is living to the Lord. And when we live to him, he lives to us. They go together. Like that hymn. All things are yours when you are his. And he and you are one.
Amen.
And then all men and all events alike must serve the ransomed soul. You know, I've experienced both, as so many brothers here have. Serving as a more timer, a job dropping full timer, and serving while working. The needs are always met. But you know, I tell you what, taking the opportunity, especially I say this to the young people, taking the opportunity to give the Lord some years and serve full time, it's the greatest blessing. I think anyone that's experienced that, just dropping their job and serving full time, by the Lord's leading, of course. We're not trying to stir up people to serve that the Lord's not leading to serve. But anyone who's taken that way has really touched the Lord's blessing.
Amen.
That lonely, how's that hymn go? The lonely path being strewn with miracles of love and tender care. And I'll tell you one case. I was serving my wife. I was married by this time. And well, actually, let me share two stories with you. One of them, I had started praying with this brother on campus. I was serving at the time, and he was working on campus. And we, during his break, we would pray together about the Lord's move in Europe. Because we just, you know, there was some burden in the recovery about the Lord's move there. This was the early 90s. We didn't know how that would develop. But anyway, we started praying about that situation, and just very anointed, just to pray for, you know, how the Lord would lead in the recovery. And then, of course, then, within a year of that time, this former Soviet Union, you know, it was dissolved. That whole area of the world opened up. And anyway, long story short, I felt the leading of the Lord to apply. You had to apply to go. And so I'd done that, and the brothers felt good about me going. And I remember one day I got very anxious. I thought, Lord, what if I go there and there's no support? It's kind of a funny thought that I even got anxious about that. But anyway, I did. And I thought, what if I get there in Russia, a land that's just not my own, and then there's just no support? And I was just concerned about my living. And anyway, so shortly after that, I was in the grocery store, and I was buying some things for lunches, and I realized I hadn't taken money out of my bank account. I just had like, you know, $7.54 or something like that. Not much. So I told the girl, the cashier, I said, okay, just, you know, ring through one item at a time and then total it. So once you've reached the amount of money I have, the rest I'll put back. And then one item went through one. This may be like seven, eight items. And after that last item went through, it was exactly $7.54, the exact amount that I had in my pocket. And I thought, what is the chance, what is the probability of going into a store randomly, picking up seven items, and those seven items are going to amount to the exact amount you have in your pocket? I mean, the probability is pretty low.
Pretty low.
And anyway, I thought, Lord, you're going to take care of all my needs, aren't you? It was just a little, a miracle of tender care, just to reassure me. Your needs are going to be met. And they were more than met, but it was just my anxiety that the Lord's taking care of. And it's just a blessing to be able to give some time to serve the Lord with all of our time. Just as an example of being in Russia, I just remember this, and this was not uncommon, but one older sister got saved, and she came up to me, and she just grasped my hands in her hand, my hand in her hands, and she said, I will be thanking God for eternity that you came to this country. How can that not touch you to hear that kind of thing? And the saints, their care as these new believers were raised up, I mean, they would give us the clothes off their back to take care of us. All things are yours when you are his. And so especially I would say to any young ones, just to be before the Lord, you know, at the prime, that window in life, just go before the Lord about your future and about serving, you know, with your full time for a period of time. But ultimately, you know, whether the Lord leads us to serve by dropping our job or by not dropping our job, we all have to be before the Lord to live to the Lord.
Amen.
And I was always held by this, you know, one of these messages, the whole message is on living to the Lord, what it means to live to the Lord. It's one thing to live for the Lord, it's another thing to live to the Lord. And there's this, you know, a good illustration, you know, let's say my wife, you know, she's fixing me a nice dinner. And she fixes me salmon patties. And I don't like salmon patties. But my wife really likes salmon patties. So she made dinner for me, right? She made dinner for me. But did she make dinner to me? No, that's not dinner to me. It's for me, but it's not to me. Now, if she was to have prepared a T-bone steak, that would have been to me, right? So to live to, it implies a really intimate union where the feeling and the desire of one in this marriage, they become the feeling and desire of the other to the point that this person knows this person and they take care of what this one wants and needs. And it's mutual. When we live to him, he lives to us. And, you know, we don't want, if some go full time, we don't want them to be like Paul, who has to make tents, right? We want them to be free. So it's not just the job dropping full timers that need to be full time. The ones that keep jobs need to be full time. What does it mean to be full time? It means that we realize that the jobs that we have, they came from the Lord. The one that we live to, he gave us those jobs.
Amen.
And those jobs are not for my enrichment.
Yeah.
It's not so I could have a really nice house and a really nice car and a nice this and a nice that. It's so I could live to him.
Amen.
So we live on what we need, and then the rest we give to the Lord. You know, this is much higher than the concept of, you know, giving 10%. That's an Old Testament concept. If you live to him, you give it all to him. And then he gives you back what you need for your living, right? And the rest is to meet the need of his service and the ones that serve him by dropping their jobs. But if we have this kind of situation among us, brothers and sisters, I don't think there'd be any problem on any of the campuses.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We'd have the manpower,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a shortage of dollars. I think it's a shortage of converting by living to him. Converting dollars from the world to the kingdom. And converting some of our time to be full time as the Lord leads. So anyway, I just wanted to share those points with you, mainly that, you know, our view of full time isn't pastors or professionals or this or that. None of us here are professionals. We're here in Romans 12:1, based upon his, through his compassions, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we're doing it again and again and again and again. And whether that leads to having a job or dropping our job, that's up to the Lord. That's up to the Lord. But if we're faithful to the Lord in this, then eventually in the whole Midwest, there'll be a beautiful expression like this canopy that we were talking about, the God ordained way working out. But it needs the manpower, right? It needs a good number that could serve to carry out this burden. So I just wanted to share that.
So related to that, Chris mentioned, or the ministry mentions, 19 supporting one. So how does that work? Practically, how does that, let's say I'm a saint in the church and I want to practice my giving to the Lord, which, like Chris said, the tithing is an Old Testament concept. The Lord wants everything, including our being, not just our pocketbook. He wants it all because he paid for it all. He owns it all. It's all his.
That's right.
But at a minimum, we should be giving 10%. So how does this support for full-timers work? Anybody have an idea? If 19 are going to support one, how does that happen practically? So I'm a saint. Let's say I want to support that, and I'm in the church in Austin, and I want to give to the Lord. I give to the church to meet the church's needs. There's building needs. There's utility needs. There's a lot of different needs, needs for needy saints. And then there's a need for full-timers. So the 10% takes care of all the general needs. And then how does it work for the supporting the one full-timer?
5%.
So that means if I'm a saint in Austin, I want to participate in the Lord's move and supporting full-timers, what percent would I be giving?
5%.
Total. 10% for general needs and 5% for the needs for to support the workers. And so if 19 people do that, if 19 people give up 5% of their income, what are we up to at that point? 95%. So 95% of someone's income is given. And then where's the other 5% come from? That's my giving up 5%.
Yeah, that's right.
I shouldn't ask you to give up 5% if I'm not going to give up 5%.
That's right.
So your 19 and my 1 equals 100%. So if everybody practices this in the Lord's recovery, then for every 20 saints, one of those would be serving full time, and it would work financially, right? So,
do you know how many we have in the U.S. saints?
Saints in the U.S. I've just heard recently 30,000. It may be a little inflated, so let's just use that number. We can use a range. Let's say 20,000 to 30,000. I'm sure it's somewhere in there. I would think. So what would that be, our math majors? How many full-timers? Okay, so this would be 1,500, I guess. And this would be 1,000. Full-timers. These are full-timers. And these are giving saints. So this is either, you know, if we have that many saints, and or that many, we'd have 1,000 full-timers or 1,500 full-timers. Right now, on the campuses, and I know there's other full-timers beside the campus, so we're at 327. Let's throw in another 25. So we're at 350, or let's just throw another 50 for who knows what. So 400. So we're not even half of the number of full-timers. How many active saints are there in the Midwest?
2,000.
So how many full-timers?
We have 100.
There you go, Ken. 2,000 saints, so you should have 100 full-timers. How many do we have?
About 30.
About 30. Well, you're about right on average for the rest of the recovery. Good job. Yeah, so we're all lagging behind. But the full-timers are, it's just more time to build. It's just, if a less-timer or part-timer or full-timer who keeps a job can talk to, say, two people a week because they have time to do that, a full-timer should be talking to, you know, two people a morning or four people a day, or you just have more people to build the building. You have more hands, more time, more effort putting in. Anybody who's trying to have a business, if you don't put time into that business, it's going nowhere. If you don't put time into law practice or medical practice or something, it's not going to happen. So it's not going to happen unless there's effort to build the church. Of course, all of us are responsible to build a church. But we need some concentrating their time, full time on it. Amen. So let's go Midwest.
Amen.
If you can look to the Lord to see how He would handle your finances and students, I know you're in the poorhouse. You're running up loans, you're eating ramen noodles and peanut P&J, peanut butter and jelly. But I also see the students having Starbucks coffees that are $2.50 to $3 a week, more than that. So it doesn't matter what your level of income is. If you begin practicing, doing something to the Lord, even it starts small. There's brothers who have started practicing giving to the Lord, and weekly is what's recommended in the Bible. In our society, it's probably more like monthly, or however you want to handle your finances, but regularly, routinely, on a regular schedule you give. And if you start as a student, even if it's $1 a week, then the Lord has a way to meet your need and also support others to meet the needs of the Lord's recovery. And that can grow. So I watched some brothers go from just offering a little bit what they had, and the Lord kept allowing them to make more money, and they kept giving more money and more money, and eventually they were giving several $1 million a year. And it started, it didn't start that way. It started, it's like a little tree that you plant a seed and it starts small. But if you don't start, even as a student, then you have to start getting released, and you have to start small. If you're dreaming student that one day I'll have that big paycheck, and out of that big paycheck I'm going to give a big fat offering to the Lord, it won't happen because you hadn't been practicing to be released from mammon by offering a small amount when you have a small amount. If you can offer a small amount when you have a small amount, you can offer a large amount when you have a large amount. So it's just, it's something that grows. And so now's the time to start. even if it's so small, even some change, but you start something regularly and you start doing it to your ability. And the target of 15% is a good target. I know a lot of saints, or I take that back, I don't know a lot of saints. I don't know who gives what, but I believe that there are a number of saints who give a lot more than 15%. I was just in a place this week, and it's a smaller church, and there's two doctors there, and they have a full-time team, and they have some people in the full-time training, and so both doctors have full-time job as doctors, and one doctor's picked up another part-time job, and the other doctor, now these are full-time doctors, so they've already got a full-time doctor schedule, so they're already, you know, putting in the effort, and one picked up a part-time job, the other full-time doctor picked up two part-time jobs. And so I was staying with one of them. I said, well, brother so-and-so, you already are working. He said, well, I picked up another part-time job as a doctor. I said, why are you doing that? He said, for finances. I said, well, what, you know, you surely don't need more finances. I mean, he said, no, it's not for that. It's to pay for the full-timers. So they're working extra jobs, not to raise their level of living, but to pour into the Lord's recovery to support the full-timers. But in both those cases, those brothers started when they were young in offering, and so now they go to work, and these two jobs, and you know, some percent of this one and all of that is going straight into support the full-timers. How about that?
Amen.
Now, when that team goes on the campus and gains some new students, and those new students come into the church, and the Lord wants to reward those ones, who do you think the Lord will reward for that fruit? So let's say the students were on the campus and the full-timers were active in contacting the students, and the students comes in and gets gained and becomes part of the church to build up the church. And then here it says in Luke 16, it says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon, that's dollars, of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, not if it fails, when it fails. So this thing right here, you know, the stock market's been going up and down. What's this worth right now? $1. When it fails, at some future time, what will this be worth?
Zero.
This is going to zero. When, not if it fails, but when it fails, it says when it fails. So it says make friends for yourselves. Make friends. So how do I make friends for myself? By means of the mammon of unrighteousness. This is unrighteous. This is unrighteous mammon. But the Lord says make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, when it goes to zero and there's no value, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacles. So back to my question, these ones that are offering their money to the Lord, and this is the Lord's telling us that, okay, let's see who's here. Matt, why don't you stand up? And so you're offering, you're in Fairborn,
right,
and you're not full-time on the team.
Right.
Sound like you're a carpenter,
right,
or something like that.
Right on.
Let's see your hand. Yeah, you see, so this is not a teacher's hand. This is a callus there. It's like, shake my hand. Oh, it's a nice strong grip. Oh, nice strong grip. Okay, so he's got, you know, he's working hard. And so he's earning these. And so he gets this. Where's your offering box?
In that window. There.
That window. You just stick it in the window. You stick it in that box there. Mm-hmm. So he earns this. He earns it righteously. He works for it. He works hard. He gets paid. But it's still unrighteous because it's in a world of unrighteousness. And this is the way Satan unifies the whole world. So this is under Satan's system. That's why it's unrighteous. It's under the worldly system, which is under Satan's rule, the ruler of this kingdom, right? So it says in God we trust. So praise the Lord for America. But it's actually unrighteous. So he takes that unrighteous mammon, which will go to zero, and he transfers it into, he transfers it to the Lord. Okay, he's a wise man. He's converting something that's going to, it's something that's unrighteous, and something's value is going to zero. Okay, so you got something in your hand, it's unrighteous, and it's going to mount to zero. So the wise thing you can do with it is turn it over to the Lord. Okay? Hey, give me that back. The heart. Okay, so it says, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacles. What is this talking about? They may receive you into the eternal tabernacles. So this is talking about us when we pass. And I just got a text this morning that a sister in San Antonio passed. I got an email last week that a brother in Vancouver passed. And one day you will pass. Take a deep breath. And exhale. One day, that will be your last breath. You'll take one more breath, and then you will be with the Lord. And then there'll be a welcoming. And so what this is talking about is the eternal tabernacles. So let's say this is, watch all this group stand up. Here, you stand up. This group stand up right here. Okay, Matt, come on. So you faithfully gave the Lord year by year. You supported the team. You weren't out there on the campus. You couldn't preach the gospel. You maybe saved a few people, but the full-timers you were supporting, save this one, save that one. And so now, take your last breath. And now, here you're entering into the eternal tabernacles. This is the welcoming party. And the Lord is here to receive you. And he's wondering, should I receive Matthew into the eternal tabernacles? What do y'all say? You're all, because of his money, he supported full-timers who preached the gospel to you. You got eternal salvation. You're with the Lord. You're enjoying the eternal life. Praise the Lord. And now Matthew, who supported the full-timer, who preached the gospel, and now the full-timers, now the community saint who gave the money, who you never met, now what do you think is going to happen when he comes? Because of his finances, you receive the gospel. So you want to welcome him into eternal tabernacle? Bring him on in. Come on. Well done. Good job. Come on. A welcoming party. Divine party. It's going to be a happy day. Versus Matt, he just never could release. He just always, he just couldn't let go of this. And so he just never supported the full-timers. And so none of them were supported by his offering. So now he goes to meet the Lord, and I'm the Lord. And hello, Matthew. Oh, it's good you're here. What did you do with all the things I blessed you with?
Well, kept it. Enjoyed the blessing myself. Yeah, I built a house. Yeah.
Oh, you built a house.
Yeah. Right, right.
But yeah. Not my house.
No.
Well, let me think about it a little bit. Why don't you sit down there for a while? There's no party. No one to welcome him. So that's what the Lord's talking about, is converting. So that's how that works. So pray about it and consider how the Lord would lead you, depending on how he's prospered you. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And if you're just wondering about being more for the Lord, and you feel like, well, sometimes I'm for the Lord, so I'll give. Sometimes I'm kind of cold and I won't give. There's a verse that says, let me see, where is this? Matthew 7:6, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 6:33. These brothers know it well. So, it, huh? 6:21? Okay, so, okay, for where your treasure is, there your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. It doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. You flipped it in your mind. The Lord says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, hey, Matt, let me see your wallet. You got it right there with you. It's so big you can't even get it. It's so loaded he can't even put it in his back pocket. So this verse says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, thanks, Matt. I'm going back to Austin. We'll see if we fly out tomorrow. Appreciate your little concern. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, wherever you put this, your heart's going to follow. If this goes to the Lord, guess where your heart's going to go? To the Lord. See, in your mind, you think, well, where my heart is, if I love the Lord, then I'll give some to the Lord. So you think, well, I just need to love the Lord, and then because I love the Lord, then I'll give him some offering. That's not what the Lord said. He didn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be, did it? He says where your treasure is. So you can direct your heart. If your heart's a little cold toward the Lord, or you don't feel like you're loving the Lord that much, put your treasure in the Lord's hands and see where your heart goes. How about that, Matt? So it's like about a string, and I tied one end to a weight, a rock, and I tied the other to a feather. Okay, so our heart is like the feather. Our heart's here one day, our heart's here one day, and over here, I love the Lord so much. Oh, you're so loving, Lord. Next day, oh, the Lord? Who's the Lord? It's just all over. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. It's hot. It's cold. It's happy. It's sad. Okay. Okay, but now I'm going to attach that feather to a rock. Okay, and now I'm going to let go of both of them. And the feather that's just blowing by the wind and up and down, when I let go of both items, what's going to happen to the feather? It's going to follow the rock. So your heart will follow your treasure.
Amen.
So if you will put that offering in that box, your heart will go after it. You got it? So if you're waiting to be motivated by the Lord, till I get more love for the Lord, I can give a little bit more, your heart will be all over the place. Where'd my dollar go? Well, I'll put it back in my wallet. Okay. All right. Here we go. What else did y'all want to talk about? Message two. Okay, let's start on it. At least we'll get 5 minutes done. Well, students, no kidding. It's a good time to start, even if it's $1 a month, $1 a week. You just start small on our giving to the Lord. You'll enjoy the Lord that way. Okay, message two, what's the title?
Raising up a community life on the campus and cultivating a gospel atmosphere.
So two parts here, raising up a community life. We weren't quite sure how to best phrase this. Struggle with it a little bit. The word community, we're sure about that one. We didn't know we put community atmosphere, community life, just community. Wasn't quite sure, but the thought here is if we're going to gain men like a flock, if we're going to gain more than just pull one out here, pull one out there, there has to be some sense of community. The students, and I'm seeing this more and more as I'm on the campus with different teams, students are looking for community. They want to join the club. They want to belong. They want to find their people. They want to be associated with people. And Christians want to have that kind of environment. They want to be with some that they can associate with, they can identify with, they can hang out with, they can live with, study with, work out with, Bible study with, go to homes with. That would be their society. That would be community. And you can consider it just like the church life. Where would you be in your pursuit of the Lord if you didn't have the church life? We got the Bible. You got the truth. You could even be reading the ministry. There are people that are reading the ministry, but there's no church life. So how do you think they're advancing, or where would you be if you didn't have the community? Not very far along. Right? So we want to talk a little bit about the community life of the campus and cultivating a gospel atmosphere. And we're not going to do that tonight. It's been a long day. And this dear sister, she's resting, and the rest of us are westering. So it's been a long day. You've been good. It's a great place to sleep.
Amen.
You just bring your body, even if you can't stay awake. It's much better to be here in the meeting hall with the saints in the community.
Amen.
You have a happy rest, yeah, even if you're here and you're dozing. You know, we've pushed you a little bit hard. We're not used to sitting all day listening to people talk. So you've been good for today. It's been a long day. So we're going to release you early.